Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Psalm 85, I preach this every time we have revival. But I got some new thoughts on it. I pray this will help you today. Just going to read down through verse 6. Psalm 85, verses 1 through 6. If you found it, shout amen. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. And it's important who he speaks of there, and it being Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Father, I love you. I thank you for the day, the time. I'm glad. Lord, no matter what comes my way, I can trust you. Forgive my sin, God, my anger issues, my troubles, God, my lust, my pride, my arrogance. Sweep me, search me, find me, God, clean under the blood today. I praise you for who you are, because you're God. Ain't nobody like you. And I pray you'd help me fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me to your glory, God, inside the bounds of this book. If there's someone lost, save them today, Lord. And if God, I pray the church hear this message today that you've given me. I pray we receive it, God, with thanksgiving and rejoice in the faithfulness of God to speak to people. Glory to God forever. I ask these things in my King's name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Just a teaching moment here, if I may. Now, my Bible titles this A Psalm for the Sons of Korah. It's to the chief musician. You know that psalms are songs, right? All you Bible people know that. It's the songbook of the Hebrew. It's like their church hymnal, if you would. It's what they sang out of. But they're more than songs. They're prophetic. These songs, not all of them are, but many of them are prophetic. In other words, they're looking way beyond where we even are now. And I think this being one of those psalms, let's look at this quickly, Dave. I'm going to throw three things at you. We'll go home. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Many think this is referring to when they came back with Ezra from Nebuchadnezzar's captivity in Babylon. I disagree with that because it doesn't say Judah. In the Bible, most times when you see Jacob, it's referring to both the full 12 tribes, refers to all of them. So here he's saying, if you've got a land and you've brought them back, I'm going to tell you, since 500 BC, 520, somewhere in there, just after 500 BC, Assyria took the northern 10 tribes into captivity. They've been there ever since. Now, Judah and Benjamin, about 120-something years later, they go into captivity into Nebuchadnezzar. But he refers to them as Ephraim or Israel and Judah. But when he's talking about Jacob, he's got the whole herd. The whole herd, all the tribes, have not been brought back yet. This is pointing toward it. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. That hadn't happened in that day. It's happened now. So first we see the return, then we see redemption. We have that now. How did he do that? Listen, It wasn't by the blood of bulls and goats or goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered one time into the holy place to obtain eternal redemption for us. This is looking way down the road to Calvary. So we see the return, see the redemption. Then in verse number 3, we see thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine wrath. So we see the return, the redemption. We see the removal of wrath. Has that happened yet? No, but it's going to. Two-part question. Who has that happened to as of now? The saved. We're saved from the wrath to come. So that is applicable to us today. Can you get amen right there? Then we come to verse 4. Return, turn us. That word is shub in Hebrew. It means repent. So turn us, repent us, O God of salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Now he chastens those that he loves. And I'm in that family. But he said, repent or perish. Repent us, O God. Turn us. Repentance isn't something you say. Confession is something we say. Repentance is something we do. What do? We turn. One preacher got in a big way one night and said, it's a 360 degree turn. I said, whoops, you're right back where you started from. So I'm going this way, I repent. I'm going that way. We talked about the way. I changed direction. Repentance, O Lord. We see the repentance. Verse number 5, here's what we see. It's kind of rhetorical. Why is that? Because he asked something that he's already answered. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? According to verse 3, no. Who would that apply to? Those that don't get redeemed. Verse number 6, we see reviving. Will thou revive us? Yes, he will. If you want it. Absolutely, he'll revive you. If we want to be revived, he'll revive us. Revive means this, to restore to life or consciousness. It means something that's nigh on dead. And he comes by and kicks it or shakes it or breathes on it or picks it up, shakes it off, does something with it. And what does this do? It revives or resuscitates. It's like spiritual CPR. Some need some chest compressions. Some just needs a breath. We need that. We need that. So that brings me to point number 1. Reviving. Reviving. Restore to life or consciousness. So I'm going to give you 3 things. If I spend 5 minutes apiece on each of them, we'll be out of here by about 12:45 because a bunch is going to come to the altar, get right to God, and then we're not going to want to leave. Number one, I want us to see this, the need for revival. America needs revival. Amen. We need revival. We need to be restored to life or at least brought back to consciousness. Things are happening that we don't even, we're doing our thing, man. Just let me do my thing. I'm not hurting nobody. I'm not bothering nobody. But I'm just doing my thing, going along to get along, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. I ain't got time for nothing else. God said, I'm trying to get your attention. We need revival. I'm in revival more than anybody in this room, I'd say. I'm just guessing. I preach usually 2 times every month somewhere. Last year I preached 3 times. I tried to quit doing that. It's about to kill me. So, I get to preach. I'm in a lot of meetings. And sometimes Sometimes I'm afraid it's mechanical. Why in the world would you say that, preacher? Because I know how to do it. And it don't matter what I know. It has to be what he knows. It can't be in my own strength and in my own power. I can't do, it's in him I live, move, and breathe, and have my being. I can't do a thing apart from him. If when we do it mechanically, friend, it's not going to accomplish nothing. Why would you say that? Need defined is this: essential or very important. Can I ask you a personal question today? Don't raise your hand. Is there a need in your life? Is it essential? Is it very important for you to be revived in your spirit? You know, this is why revival doesn't come. It's because of loss. Revelation 2 and 4, he said this. He said, you've left your first love. Sister Teresa said it, something about when you first got saved today in Sunday school. That's exactly right. Hey, look here. You think you're going to get the world saved. And you love him. You love him. He's brought you out of something or through something. Listen, he saved you out of a mess. He's done things for you no one else can do. But I say this often, we get used to his biscuits. And we eat them so often we forget how good they really are. Because he don't have to fix biscuits for us. What a precious thing you hold in your lap right now, that word of God. How precious that is. I'm telling you, friend, it's easy. To leave the first love. Ephesus, the ones he's writing to, he said, hey, you've done a bunch of good things. You got patience. You're working in my name. You're doing a lot of good things, but I got something against you. You left your first love. Can I ask you, does that apply to you today? Not only that, the need for revival, it's proven by loss. The loss of love. Do you love the Lord? Absolutely, I love the Lord. The question is, do we love him like we first loved him? That's the question. But it's not only the loss of love, but it is this. It's the loss of luster. Listen, luster is the shine. Luster literally means glow. It means the glow of God. It means... when I pick this, say, where would you have the scripture on that? Well, I'd say Matthew 5:16 pretty much says it. Well, let's go back a verse and say, no man lighteth a candle and put it under a bushel. No, he puts it on a lampstand. That's what he does. No man's going to do that and put it under a bushel where nobody can see it. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Can I ask you, Brother Gordon taught it today in Sunday school. He's got a purpose and a plan for everybody that's ever been saved. You may not be walking the pews and running the aisles, but my friend, if you're a prayer warrior and faithful to the house of God, you're way on top of the list. How's your shine? Does anybody say to you, you must be a Christian? What have you got I don't have? You don't have to wear a neck. Listen, Abraham didn't wear a sign around his neck saying, I'm the father of faith. He done something, matter of fact, he done something that nobody knew about, but God penned it in his book so we could know about it. But he offered his son on a mountain. There ain't nobody there but him and God and the boy. So see, nobody. That's when he became the father of faith. Nobody's seen that. God's going to tell about it later, so we'll know about it today. I want to shine, Jim. I want to shine. I want the glow. I want the luster. How do you get that, preacher? You get it in revival. You get it? You get it? And you know what? You don't care if you're tired. You don't care. You're going anyway. You don't, it don't matter what comes up. I've got a prior commitment. I'm sorry.
That's right. Hallelujah, brother.
Now, you don't have to. You don't have to. But I just want to tell you, we need it.
Amen.
We need it. So we can't have camp meeting all the time, no, but we can have it more than we do.
Amen.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for? We need it. We need revival. What do we need? Restoration. Need to be restored. Not just a baby bumped its head. It's all right. Everybody look at me. We've heard crying babies before. Don't let the devil break your concentration like that. Surely you're more spiritually grown than that. We need it. The loss. I'm going on. One, it's the need for revival. Two, the deed in revival. The deed. What is that? That's an intentional action. Intentional action. The deed is an intentional action. I'm going to do this. Why would I do this? Because I need revival. Why do you need it? You're in church every night. I'm telling you, I need the glow. I need the go. I need the power of God. You need it too. We need it. Got to have it. What's a deed in revival? That intentional action is this. It gives us liberty. It gives us liberty. He said to give the captives liberty. We were captive at one time, but now what do we have? We have liberty. What do we have liberty to do? Number one, we have liberty to worship. Talking about the deed in revival. What are we coming to do? We're coming to worship. The hour has come and now is what Jesus said, that everybody, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God seeketh such to worship him. Worship there is used in two ways. I'm a poor English student, so I looked it up this morning. It says there's a noun. It can be this, a noun or a verb. Worship. Depending on how it's used in a sentence. We see both of them in this. Verb is an action. It's something you do. Now, get this. Get this definition on this word. This means, it means everything. As a noun, it's a feeling or an expression, worship. We feel it, and then we express it. And we express it different. Some sit and cry. Some wave their hands. Some take a lap. Do not be condemning. Don't condemn them that worship in a different way than you do. It's between them and God. But verb, the word worship as a verb means to show. To show. One is to feel as a noun, the other and as a verb is to show. What do we show? Adoration. How do we do that? We done it a moment ago, sang Amazing Grace. Everybody stood up, some put their hands over their head. It said to lift hands in the sanctuary of God. Don't let that scare you. The Bible says to do it. I don't know if it's going over or not, but I'm still preaching. The deed in revival is not only worship, get this friend, but it's work. It's work. Joe Floyd's 70 years old. He don't look 70. He don't dance like he's 70. The other night after revival service, I looked up and here come a vacuum cleaner down the aisles. Joe. He's vacuuming like a madman. He's got that thing smoking. I mean, he's getting it done. Getting it done. You know what, Jimmy? Didn't mind it at all. Didn't do it under duress. It was his joy to do something for the Lord. Didn't get paid. He just wanted to do it. I see something in the floor. I'm cleaning that up. The work You preached this, Chris, last year sometime. James 2. And he said this, about verse 18, somewhere in there. He said, you say you have faith and I have works. You say I have faith and you have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll show you what I got by what I do. Amen. Amen. Is anybody in this building with me today? Yeah. I'll show you what I got by what I do. Amen. When something's asked, it's not a, listen. It's not a burden, though it gets tiresome. I get tired, my body hurts. There's things breaking down, not good as they used to be. I just had this. But I'm telling you, it's worth every mile. You see the blessings, you see the blessings of God on your family, I'm telling you, it's worth every mile. What do we need? Listen, it is the deed in revival. It's not just the need for it, it's the deed in doing it. And what does that do? Well, we show our faith by what we do. Number three, I told you I'd be as quick as I could. We need a need for revival. There's the deed in revival. Intentional action. I love that. I looked that up. I thought, that's why you put that on my heart, God. It's an intentional action. I'm coming. Listen. If I have to sit here with my eyes closed, my head bent because I'm so tired I can't get up, I'm a coming. Then we see the seed of revival. It's one thing to have the need, another thing to do the deed, but then we see the seed of revival. Now, seed, it's got a lot of different definitions. This is one I'm interested in. Cause something to begin to grow. That's what a seed is. It causes something to begin to grow. That spirit gets in our heart. That thing gets in us. God sows into us. Look here. And he puts it in us and that thing begins to grow. Next thing you know, you're doing something you never thought you'd do before. I'm kind of picking on Brother Randall today, but he's on fire for God right now. Randall Farner. I've got so many Randalls I have to designate with last name. Brother Randall calls me. I was just leaving the church one day this week. I can't remember. He said, do we have any flyers? I said, we got a stack of cards up here. He said, I want to give them out. I said, praise the Lord. I put them out in the foyer, over in the old sanctuary foyer. And he come in, he picked them up, he went and handed them out. Nearly went to jail handing out cards. Some bail bondsman thought he was an escaped convict. He had to put the ID on him, show him he wasn't him. Did you hear that? Good. I'm not saying nothing. But you know what he said? He said, man, I got blessed giving him cards out. I got blessed. He said, and you don't have to go hunt them. They'll come to you. Just sit down in a restaurant somewhere. Go slide one on a table. Say, hey, look here, I'd like to invite you. I stood up in the barber shop, whatever day it was I was there. It must have been Friday, I guess. I went to the barber shop. There's a room full of guys in there. Chad, my barber, we're always talking about the Lord. He's not been saved that long. Used to be a meth addict. But God turned him around. I mean, he's got the goods. He has raised Church of Christ. He got glorious saved. He's been hammering on his granny. He said, now look here, you can go to church wherever you want to go, but you got to be born again. Hallelujah. I don't care where you go to church. You must be. Jesus said that. I'll take his word for it. Yeah. He got through with the haircut and things were full. And I said, gentlemen, I said, my name's Mike McCoy. I pastor the First Free Will Baptist Church over here on First Street right here in town. And I'd like to invite every one of you to revival this coming week, 7 o'clock every night. I got two guys coming that don't preach like me. They're not going to yell and shout and jump no pew. They won't scare you. But they'll learn you something. Why don't you come? Out of those that are sitting there, one old guy, the roughest one in there, I thought for sure I'd get a negative out of him. He said, First Free Will, I got it. Who knows? Who knows? seed. The seed first has to begin here. The seed has to begin in the child of God. The seed, I'm talking about born again, saved, on the way to heaven. On the way to heaven. Are you on the way to heaven? It's what you got right now good enough to die with, because you may die when you get outside this door. You might die in here. But it begins in us. God puts that thing in us and reminds us of what we were in the past, thus the need for revival. And he says, hey, through the need, you'll see to do the deed. He'll put the deed in you. You can accomplish that. It has to be an intentional effort. Intentional. But then that seed begins to grow. And Junior, we see the place, God, where we could, the place that God would have us move up. He would have us move up. Would he have us move up? You better know he'd have us move up. Listen. He doesn't intend for us to stay in the place of infancy. Y'all would freak out if I come in here sporting a diaper and a pacifier. Don't get that mental image in your mind. You won't come back. Trust me, I'm not coming in here that way. But Paul said, you're like babies. You ought to have been off the bottle a long time ago. How do we get to that place? We get to that place by revival. Wilt thou not revive us again that we might rejoice? Is your rejoicing gone? Is it gone? Pat said, Mike, you can be in a good mood. We're going to take our time getting back. They've shut the interstate down. I have to drive the old 70 to get back to Newport, and I get behind trucks. But we're not in a hurry. But when there's a passing lane, oh yeah, you got something in your life. Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Some girl tells another one after her haircut do you spent $150 on. That's not the best haircut you ever had. Instant rage. Boom. That seed's in the child of God. This thing begins to grow. It takes us up and over things. I need revival. It takes us. Oh, and we get through things. Things don't bother us like they did. We forgive people. And we get on with the growth business. It happens first in the child of God. Number two, it happens, then it happens in the church. See, Jimmy, you can't do nothing until you fix that. I can't do it until this is fixed. And he's the only one can fix it. And he'll fix it if I ask him to. Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Fix this. Put me back in ministry. Put me back where I was. Help me, God. The devil telling you, you can't do it. God saying, try me. You can do it through me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Finally finished the hiding place. The last chapter was looming on me and loomed and loomed. And finally, I picked up the book yesterday and closed her out. I begin to see in this story that I don't need to be like Corey. I'm already like Corey. I need to be like Betsy. When they lashed Betsy with a frock across her face, Corey, in her feeble condition, grabbed her shovel and started toward the guard. And Corey and Betsy caught her arm and said, Corey. You got to pray for him. She said, I want to plow him with a shovel. You got to pray for him, Corey. I'm thinking, I'm more like Corey. When Betsy gets sick, They snuck a vitamin bottle in with their Bible and said it was a little brown bottle and said Betsy was sick. Corey was saving it for her. And she would tell the Lord, I'm saving it for Corey. Or I'm saving it for Betsy. Corey would tell the Lord, I'm saving it for Betsy. She's so sick. She needs the vitamin on her piece of black bread to help her or she's going to die. And she said, I'd put a drop on top of that. And then Betsy would take the bottle and put a drop on everybody's bread. She said, Betsy, you need that. She said, it's okay, Corey.
Yeah.
She said, for weeks, they poured oil out of that little brown bottle. She said, I'd try to hold it up to the window and see how much was in it. And it was so dark I couldn't see. But every time I turned it up, a drop came out on that bread. Said, then one day a girl come from the infirmity and she brought a whole big bottle. She had stolen it. Whole big bottle of oil, vitamin oil from the infirmity and brought it in there and said, that night the oil quit dipping out of the little brown bottle. Betsy's nearly dead. She tells Corey, she said, Corey, she said, the work must continue, and I know what we're supposed to do. She said, we're going to have a big house with large windows. Said, it lets the light in. There'll be flowers in the yard, Corey. And said, there'll be a wide staircase coming down inside the house, and we'll take care of people that's been injured in this war. And said, we'll take care of all people. All people. Said that Betsy died. Corey ran to the infirmary, and there she was. And she said, in there on that sheet was a little yellow form. Said it didn't look like Betsy. And said, my heart was broken. My sister was laying there dead. And said, I was watching her, and I knew where they was going to take the bodies. And one of the girls from another camp came and got her and said, Corey said, you got to come and see. You got to come and see. They've carried Betsy out. She said, I can't look on her. She said, you must. She said, I went to where Betsy was laying and said, there she was. And said, her face didn't look like a skeleton anymore. It was full. Said, her hair was combed. She said, Lord, you even combed her hair. And she kept remembering the work must continue. Corey gets out. It's by a clerical error. She was supposed to be in the room with those that went to the gas chamber 2 weeks later. But by a clerical error, Corey gets out. She gets back home. She tries to do a thing or two that she was doing before she was ever taken captive. None of it worked. She said, Lord, this is not my work. I know now that it's not my work. What is my work? Is anybody hearing me? What is my work? What wilt thou have me do? You said that this morning. It said, when she done that, that said, there was a lady who she had helped prior to her incarceration, and this lady came and she was wealthy. And she said, Miss Boone, she said, I know what I need to do. I have a large house. And it has, I forget how many rooms. And we can help people. Would you come and help me? Corey said, I looked at her and said, does it have large windows? She said, yes, it does. She said, does it have statues in the wall? She said, yes, it does. She said, does it have a long winding staircase? The woman said, you must have been there before. She said, no, but somebody else had seen it. Lastly, I'm talking about the seed. That seed was put through in her by terrible, terrible situation and circumstance. She was speaking all over Europe, and she found herself in Germany. And here she is, the very guard that stripped them naked and stared at their feeble bodies as they were lined against a rough board wall. That guard was standing there looking at Miss Corey Ten Boom. And said, he walked up to me and said, Fraulein, your speaking has touched my soul. And he stuck his hand out to me And Corey said, I could not raise my hand. So I whispered a prayer to the Lord. And I said, Lord, would you help me? Help me be like Betsy. Help me here, Lord. And she said, yet I could not raise my hand. She said, Lord, give me strength to forgive. And the moment I asked the Lord for that, she said, my hand went out. And when he grabbed my hand, she said, there was a power that consumed me like I've never felt before. She said, the glory of God just came over me. She said, I rejoiced in the Lord. I dare say you never had anybody strip you naked, stand you against a wall and make fun of you. How could she do that? The seed that was put in her and it come to fruition. Can I ask you today? I'm done, friend. Is there a need? Can you do the deed? Do you have that seed? Do you have that thing? Do you have that thing? I'm going on record right here. Everybody in this room, hear me close and hear me well. If there's anybody in this room you got an ought against, if you'd like for revival to happen for this church, if you go to them and look them right in the eye and say, if I've hurt you, I'm sorry. If there's that ought in your heart, and it's maybe it's not with somebody inside this church, but it's outside this church, you come to this altar and say, like Corey did when the German soldier held his hand out, former soldier held his hand out, say, God, give me that kind of power to forgive. We can have revival. You don't have to have it. You can stay right where you're at. Whew. Well, I want it. I want it. I've begged God for it. I want it. If you have an ought with me, you come to me right now. We'll kneel down on this altar and pray. I mean, right now, I don't know that I got an ought with anybody in this room, not one. Now, I may have one and not know it. That's the way it is a lot of times. You don't even know somebody's got an ought against you. But if I have that, you come to me right now. We'll kneel down and pray at this altar. And we'll work this thing out. We'll let God take this thing and wash it away. I don't want an ought before we try to start to have a revival. And don't you lay out because you got an ought. No, get it fixed. Let's have a meeting. We need revival at the First Free Will Baptist Church. People say, hey, y'all got it going on up there. I thought if you only knew. We're a bunch of broken people that need the hospital of God. And ain't nobody can fix it like Jesus. Stand to your feet, bow your heads. Verena, play me something on that piano.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.